We're holding the last line of Nuntes Amud Beis. We started talking about, the Mishnah had said that the blood that drains from the Yisoid of the Mizbeach, all the various sides of the Yisoid, eventually the blood drains into holes in the Yisoid, and then it goes out to the Amma, the water channel that flowed through the Azara. From there it goes out to Nachal Kidron, the deep valley east of Yerushalayim, and then they sell it to gardeners there for fertilizer, and the Mishnah had said, Omoilin behen Me'ilah applies to that blood. So we were in the middle of discussing about the details of that. We said that it's only that Midaraisa, Me'ilah wouldn't apply to it, but Midarabanan it would, which we had a few different ways of explaining that. Does that mean exactly what it sounds like, that Me'ilah never applies to it, Midaraisa, only Midarabanan, and therefore Midarabanan was saying we have to sell it to these gardeners, so they can't just take it for free? Or Tosfos had brought an explanation from Rabbeinu Chaim that it is Midaraisa, but only because the Chachamim were makdish it again. What we're saying is, in other words, that the blood itself has no kedusha as a guf. All it has is kedusha of its monetary value, kedusha damim. But what it is once it goes out to Nachal Kidron, then the Chachamim are makdish it again, but only with kedusha damim. Such that, okay, so now Me'ilah does apply to it on a Daraisa level, but only because of what the Chachamim did. So we were discussing how we know, in fact, that Me'ilah does not apply to the blood of Korbanos on a Daraisa level. We had three different Lemudim, and in particular, we had Rabbi Yochanan saying that it has to be La'acha Kapara, that Lifne Kapara is like La'acha Kapara. We have the Pasuk says Hu, which means that it has the same status throughout, so the same way as Rabbi Yochanan takes it as a given that after the kapara is done with the blood, Me'ilah wouldn't apply, because of the rule, Ein l'cha davar shenasas mitzvos te'umolin bo, you never find something where the mitzvah was accomplished with something and Me'ilah should still apply. Here the mitzvah has been accomplished, it was sprinkled on the mizbeach like it was supposed to, therefore Me'ilah shouldn't apply. And if the pasuk is saying who, at a different stage than it means, even lifne kapara, even before it was sprinkled on the mizbeach, Me'ilah still wouldn't apply to it. So now the Gemara takes that up. So we're saying again, Rabbi Yochanan's premise is based on the fact that ein l'cha davar shenasas mitzvos te'umolin bo, you never have something that the mitzvah was already accomplished with it, and Me'ilah should still apply. So the Gemara says, v'loy, is that the case? V'hari trumas hadeshin. What about trumas hadeshin? That you take it off the mizbeach, you take the ashes off the mizbeach, the mitzvah is done with it at that point, but it's still also b'hana. That means, in other words, Rashi says, therefore Me'ilah would still apply. If a person were to go and use those ashes, then they'd be chayav for a korban Me'ilah. Now Tosfos gets into over here at some length. Tosfos and Tosfos Yishanim get into at some length over here discussing the ins and outs of that. Is that in fact the case that Me'ilah would apply to it? Is it maybe that it's also to have Hana from it, but Me'ilah wouldn't apply? When we say over here in our Gemara that Me'ilah applies, do we necessarily mean all of the dinim of Me'ilah, or are we just using that as a shorthand way of saying that it's also Bahana, where in fact the actual dinim of Me'ilah might not apply? And Tosfos goes into a lot of discussion about the pros and cons of all of that. One thing that comes into that actually is, we learned earlier in the Masech that we had Rashi and Tosfos argued whether in fact the ashes from the Trumas Hadeshin get swallowed up into the ground where they're placed or not. We said that the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi and Menorah do get swallowed up into the ground with Derech Nes. And Rashi had learned that the same thing is true of the ashes that were taken off the Mizbeach HaChitza, in the panful of them that was taken off every day for Trumas Hadeshin. On the other hand, Tosfos earlier in the Masechta had said not necessarily. Anyway, the point is, Trumas Hadeshin is an example. The mitzvah has already been done, and it's still Me'ilah, or at least an Isur Hanah, still applies. The answer is, the reason why we can't learn from that to blood, Mishum Dehavi Trumas Hadeshin, or Big Dekahuna, Shneik Suv Mavoyim Ke'echad. Because you have the same din in connection with Trumas Hadeshin, and the same din in connection with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, V'chol Shneik Suv Mavoyim Ke'echad, Ein Melamdin. And we have a general rule throughout Shas, when you have two psukim, two different mitzvahs, where it says the same din applies to both of them, we don't learn from them to other places, because, in other words, if it was meant to be that we learn a binyan av from it to other places, then the Torah would have only said it by one of them, and we would have learned by a binyan av for all the other ones. So since instead it says it by these two, then it means we don't learn from them. There's actually a machlokas rishonim based on Rashi and other places, and Tosfos rishonim over here, or is that saying that we can't necessarily learn from them to other places, but there still might be a different limud that allows us to do that, or is it specifically that the Shnei Ksavim b'Yom Ha'echad blocks us from applying it to other places, even if we'd have a different limud? So applying that to over here, Rabbi Yochanan has the word who about the blood, which teaches us that there's a similarity between lifnei kapara and la'acha kapara. If we say shniks of mabayim kachad ein melamdin means there's no way to learn from there to any place else, then it would mean that the only possible way of learning the word who would be to say that only by Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kohanah are we saying the Osabana after Nasas Mitzvasei, anything else not. Therefore, necessarily the blood is not subject to Me'ila after Nasas Mitzvasei. And the who, in turn, would then teach us that the same thing, Lifnei, that before Nasas Mitzvasei, before the Kapara was accomplished with the blood, also Me'ila wouldn't apply. That's if we say that it blocks it. If we just say we can't necessarily learn from it, then we would say, okay, we have the word who over here. We have two possible ways of explaining it. We would say that it's teaching us that there's no particular reason for us to think that there's no particular reason for us to think that la'acha kapara me'ila should still apply to it. It's not one of the shnei ksavim after all. The only reason that would make us think that is because of the word who, and we could just as logically learn the word who to mean the other way around, that la'acha kapara there's no me'ila in it, and lifnei kapara there isn't either. Okay. So the question is, Hanichal Rabbanan. Now that works out a point. Now we're saying that Shnei Ksuvim over here are Trumas Hadeshen and Bigdei Kohanah. So in fact, Tosfos refers to a Gemara elsewhere in Me'ila that wants to say that the second one is the limbs of the Sar LaZazel. We're going to learn in Or Masechta in the next Perek that actually it's not so simple. The limbs, the leftover pieces of the Sar LaZazel, may very well be Mutar B'Hanah. We'll deal with that. Later on, Daf Samach Vav, Samach Zayin, or so. Anyway, Hanicha v'Rabbanan. This that we're saying that the second one is Bigdei Kohanah, the clothes that the Bigdei Lavan that the Kohen Gadol wore to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that works out according to them. The Amri, where they say that when the pasuk says v'hinicham sham, that when the pasuk says he takes off those Bigdei Lavan and he leaves them there, means melamed shetu'un gniza. That means that they're required to be hidden away and they can never be used again, not by him on a different Yom Kippur and not by a Kohen head yet throughout the rest of the year. So then you have Shnei Ksuvim Avayim Ka'achad. So you have here the mitzvah was accomplished with these clothes, and there still remain also b'hanah. The mitzvah was accomplished with Trumas Hadeshen, and it's also still also b'hanah. So there you go. There's your Shnei Ksuvim Avayim Ka'achad. But according to Abdoisa, who we've learned previously in the Masechta a couple of times, he says that these Bigdei Kohanah are in fact able to be used by a Kohen Hedyot. So they could be used throughout the year. And Rashi mentions a point over here that once we say they can be used as the begotten of a Kohen Hedyot, then automatically Me'ila doesn't apply to them because it's impossible to take them off the second that the Avodah is finished, which is a point that we're going to learn of the seventh Perek. We're going to talk about that point of Lo Nitna Torah L'Malachei HaShadas. Anyway, according to Abdosa, we see that you could have Hanah from these Bigdei Kohanah in the future. The Kohen Gadol can't use them a different Yom Kippur, but a Kohen Hedyot could use them any time during the year. So then according to him, my Ikal Meimah, then what are you going to say? Then you only have Trumas Hadeshen, where it's also the Hanah after the mitzvah was accomplished with it, and we should learn from that to blood, and say that the blood is also La'acha Kapara, is still also the Hanah. And then again, Rabbi Yechanan's word, who would tell us that also Lifnei Kapara it is? The answer is, because even according to Abdosim, Mishum to have a Trumas Hadeshen, the Egla Arufa Shneks of Aboyim Kachod, because you have not just Trumas Hadeshen, and not the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, fine, according to Abdosim, those are not, in fact, Asabana, but also the other one is the Egla Arufa, where after the Egla Arufa is decapitated, it's buried over there, and it's Asabana after it's buried. So you have Shneks of Rabbanim Kachod, Bechol Shneks of Rabbanim Kachod, and Melamed. And again, you have two psukim where we both learn the same concept that even La'acha Mitzvasa, it's still also Ba'anah. So therefore, they're not Melamed from Neo to anything else. So only those two would be also Ba'anah after the Mitzvah is done with them, but not blood. Now the question becomes, Hanichal Mandama Ein Melamdin. Fine, that works out according to the opinion of the Chachamim, who says that once you have Shnei Ksuv Mavoyim Pe'echad, then you can't learn from it to anything else. Elo Lamanda Oma Melamdin Ma'ik Lamemer. What about according to the opinion that they are Melamed to other places? This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in Sanhedrin is the first place where you have it, and it comes up in other places in Shas, where he holds, just like we have sometimes, the Gemara will say, even though you have a din, which could have been learned by a Kal V'Chomer, nevertheless, the Pasuk still takes the trouble to write it out for us instead of having to use the Kal V'Chomer. The same way, Rabbi Yehuda says, just because you have Shnei Ksuv Mavoyim Pe'echad, big deal. So the Torah wrote it in one extra place unnecessarily. That doesn't necessarily show you can't learn from it to other places. So according to him, maybe you should learn from Tirmas HaDeshen and Egla Arufa. Now, of course, the Gemara could easily answer that, okay, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Doisa. He holds like a Chachamim that the Big De Kohona are also Bahana, and therefore you have three. You have Turma Sadeshin, Big De Kohona, and Egla Arufa. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that once you have three of them, then that's too much. You're not going to say that there are two extra ones written unnecessarily. But the Gemara wants to find that even if Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Doisa about the Big De Kohona, still how we make it work. And the answer is, Tremi Otik Sivim. The answer is because there are two mi'utim by each of these things, by Shema Sadeshen and by the Egla Arufa, there's a mi'ut saying that this din, that mi'ila still applies to it, or an Isra Hanah still applies to it after the fact, after the mitzvah is done, there's a mi'ut by each one of them. By the Shema Sadeshen, it says, v'sam mo'i, he should place it next to the Mizbeach, implying only it, not anything else. And by the Egla Arufa, the Pasuk says that the Pasuk says, ha Arufa, the one that was decapitated, where it could have just said Arufa, and therefore that teaches us that this is the one which is still also Ba'anah afterwards. So once we have those Mi'otim, even Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Shnei Ksuv Mavoyim Ke'echad, we could learn from them from them to other places, but he agrees in these cases you have a Mi'ot in each of those Psukim, and therefore the Torah is telling us that it applies only to them. Tosfos discusses over here actually that the reason why we need the various mi'utim at all, or at least why do we need both of them? Why shouldn't we be able to have just one? And the answer is Tosfos says because you have two of them in one connection and one of them in a different connection. And if you only had some of them, then you'd say a mi'ut acha mi'ut. So you need this whole thing. You need the Shnei Ksuvim, and you need a miut by each one of them to teach us that in fact only those things are also Ba'anah after the mitzvah was done and nothing else. So now that we have that, then we're back to, so again, Rabbi Yochanan had told us, because the Pasuk says who in connection with blood, therefore we know it means it has the same status constantly, and therefore just like, so now that we've established that after Nasas Mitzvah, say, after the Mitzvah of Kapara was accomplished with the blood, Me'ila won't apply to it because it's not Trumas HaDeshen and it's not Egla Arufa. Therefore, the Hu tells us the same thing is true Lifnei Kapara. So again, you have, as Tosfos had said before, as Rabbeinu Chaim had said in Tosfos, fine, maybe based in his Makdish the blood, afterwards they're Makdish it with a new Kedusha of Kedushas Damim in order that the farmers have to pay for the blood, but not that it retains the same Kedusha that it did before, and Me'ila should still apply, because what we're saying is Me'ila never applies to the blood of it at all, at least once the animal was shafted. Okay. Now, in the Gemara before, we had three different limudim. All this time, we've been discussing Rabbi Yochanan's limud from the word who, but we said there were two other ones. We said Ula had focused on the word lachem in the pasuk, and Rabbi Shimon had focused on the word lachafer. So lachem implies that it belongs to you. You can use it for whatever purpose you want. Lachafer implies that it's only there. The blood is there for kapara, not for me'ila. And then you have Rabbi Yochanan's who. So now, we have to ask, v'hani tzlosi kroi v'dam lamali, why do we need three different phrases in the pasuk as far as dam? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're learning the fact that blood is not subject to me'ila from the word who, then what is he doing with the word lachem and with the word lachafer? So the answer is chad lamauti min noiser. He would say one of them teaches us that blood is not subject to the iser of noiser. So if the korban was left over beyond the time, to the next day in the case of a chatas, and most other karbanas to the day after, to the day after next in the case of a shlamim. So if a person eats from the meat of that korban, they're chayav karis. But if a person eats from the blood of that korban at that point, then they're not chayav. They're not, well, karis, that would be amazing. But if we're talking about b'shoigig, if they ate nos of b'shoigig, they're going to be bringing a korban, they're going to be bringing a chatas for that. But if they ate this blood, b'shoigig, they're not going to be chayav for blood as well as for nos. They're only going to be chayav one chatas for the fact that it was blood. So that's one. V'chad l'ma'otim me'ilah. A second one to teach us that me'ilah doesn't apply to it, as we've been discussing. V'chad l'ma'otim me'tumah. And the third one teaches us that tumah is not, that it's not subject to tumah. Same idea. We know that if a person eats kodshim when they're tumah, then they're chayiv kodesh. And b'shoigig, they bring a chatas for it. Actually, b'shoigig, they bring not a chatas. They bring a korban olah v'yored. But if what they ate was blood, then they're not bringing a korban olah v'yored for eating kodshim while they're tamei. They're only bringing a chatas for eating the blood. So we need the three miyotim to teach us those three things. Rashi elsewhere explains that the lochem would teach us that noiser doesn't apply. The lachapara teaches us that tumah doesn't apply. And the who teaches us that me'ilah doesn't apply. Okay, then the other opinions, Ula and Reb Shimon would also agree to all of those things. So they'd have to switch around which one we learn from which one. But we have those three. Anyway, Avon McPigle. Now, what about, you could ask, don't we need a limud also to teach us that blood is not subject to the dinim of pigle? That if the korban became pigle and somebody ate from the blood of it, that he wouldn't be chayav kares or chatas for pigle only for blood? We don't need a posik for that. Why not? We don't need a posik to be memayed it because we have a different source that it's excluded from the dinim of pigle. Namely, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, Kol Sheyeshle Matirin, any part of a korban that has something that is matirit, and that means matir, bein la'odam, bein la'mizbeach, whether it's matir for a person to eat it, or it's matir for the mizbeach to eat it, to consume it, then, chayav another, mishum pigul, then pigul would apply. Meaning, in other words, for example, when you sprinkle the blood of a korban on the mizbeach, only then are you able to take the emurim of that korban and offer them on the mizbeach. So the blood becomes a matir for the emurim. And in turn, once the emurim are offered, then you're allowed to eat the meat of the korban. Therefore, the emurim are a matir, or actually really, really technically the sprinkling of the blood is matir the meat of the korban to be eaten by the kohenim and by the owners. Technically, as we've learned in Pesachim, that if the emurim became tamei or what have you, then it's still, the korban is still kosher b'di'evin. In any case, the point is the blood is matir. What's to be burnt on the mizbeach, that can't be done before the blood is sprinkled. And it's matir, and you also have that it or the emurim are matir, the meat to be eaten. So therefore, anything that's matir, something else, then the thing that became mutter, the emurim now became mutter because of the blood, the meat now became mutter because of the blood or because of the emurim, therefore pigul applies to it. Whereas v'dam atzmi matir, the blood itself doesn't have anything else that is matirit for the mizbeach. It itself is the matir. Therefore, automatically, we know from that pigul doesn't apply to it. Rashi explains because we learn the whole concept of pigul from. We learn it from a shlamim, and a shlamim has a matir for the mizbeach and a matir for the person. So we learn that only something that has a matir, whereas blood doesn't have a matir, it itself is the matir. Therefore, automatically, we know from that, pigul doesn't apply. Therefore, we don't need a fourth miut in the pasuk to teach us that. We only need miutim for me'ila, for tumah, and for noisa. Okay.
Why don't you say that the shechita itself is matir for the blood?
That's not a question of being matir. That's practically speaking, you're not going to get the blood without the shechita, but that's not the same thing as a matir.
What's the difference?
The difference is a matir is something the thing is available, you're just not allowed to do it before this thing is done. The blood is available, the meat is available once the korban is shechted and cut up. You're just not allowed to eat from it until the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach and until the emurim are offered on the mizbeach. But it's available, as opposed to the blood is just not available until the animal is shechted, so you can't really say that that's a matir.
it's not available before it's been collected in a keli.
Well, that too, yeah. Okay, but the being collected in a keli is a prerequisite, really, to make the blood even be suitable to be placed on the mizbeach. But it's not like the amatu would be, in other words, there's a different part of the carbon. There's a different part of the carbon that's matu this one. Here, you have within the blood itself, it has to be caught in a keli and it has to be walked over to the mizbeach and then sprinkled. But all of those are prerequisites within the blood itself, not matirim from one item to another, which is what we're talking about, from blood to emurim, from emurim to meat. So the blood is not in effect, I guess you could say the blood is its own matir, but that's not the definition of a matir. The definition of a matir is something else that is matir, something to be used for its designated purpose. Mishnah says, Now that we're pretty much at the end of the things that the Kohen Gadol is doing in the Big Day Lavan, now we have the one major thing he still has yet to do in the Big Day Lavan is going to be saying the vidui on the Sor LaAzazel and send that off. That the Sor LaAzazel is going to be the subject of the next perek. The entire next perek pretty much is going to deal with the ins and outs of the Sor LaAzazel. But at this point, the Kohen Gadol has pretty much finished everything he needs to do in the Big Day Lavan. In particular, he's done almost everything at this point that he needs to do in the Heichal and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the exception of later in the afternoon he's going to go in to take out the Kaf and Machta. So therefore, at this point, the Mishnah wants to tell us something about the order of the Avodas, what's Ma'akev and what's not. So the Mishnah says, Kol Maisi Yom HaKippurim HaOmer Al HaSeder, the entire action, the entire avodah of Yom Kippur that we said in order, that we talked about over here in these last couple of parakim, im hikti maisa l'chaveira, if he does one thing before another, loy osa klum, then what he did doesn't count for anything and he has to redo it. So there's a few different ways of understanding. We're going to see in the Gemara that definitely that applies only to things that are done in Big Day Lavan. Of course, we know the Kohen Gadol is changing back and forth from Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zahav and back and forth several times during the day. We're going to see in the Gemara, everybody agrees that the things that he does in Big Day Zahav are not part of this rule over here. Only things that he does in Big Day Lavan. We're going to have within that, we're going to have a machloikis in the Gemara, what exact things that applies to, what exact area, what exact avoidus this rule applies to, and then within that you also we're going to talk about the ones that are done in Big Day Lavan Bifnim inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the ones that are also done Bachutz outside it, or even outside in the Azara. There's also within that there's a multi-way argument among Rishonim how to understand the Shitta of Rashi in this. Is it that we're saying that any time that one of the avodas is an avodas pnim, then it's ma'akiv? Are we saying that only if both of them are avodas pnim is it ma'akiv? Let's say, for example, if he sprinkled the blood of the par or of the sur before bringing the turdus, but not if one of them is an avodas pnim and the other one is an avodas chutz. There's a few different ways of explaining Rashi's shita, which those various explanations are going to affect various points of the Gemara's discussion on it. Anyway. So the Mishnah gives an example. Hikdim dama sur la dama par. Suppose that he sprinkled the blood of the sur before the blood of the par, and we've learned previously that it's supposed to be par and then sur. Yachzav yazim dama sur la achad dama par. Then what he should do is he should sprinkle again from the blood of the sur after the blood of the par. So fine, that's not going to passel. When we said loy osa klum, that doesn't always mean that we're going to have to go back, we're going to have to rewind, and let's say, for example, in the case where he did the sur before the par, doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to have to rewind and he's going to have to shech the new par. As long as he still has blood available of the par, then fine, let him do the blood of the par again, let him do the blood, now that he did the dam of the par, that didn't become possible. We don't say, in other words, that the avoida that was pushed out of sequence becomes possible. In this case, the hazois of the blood of the par didn't become possible just because he did the sur ahead of them. What's possible is the hazois of the blood of the sur. Very well, then. He still has blood of the par available. He still has blood of the sur available. So let him just do the blood of the sur afterwards, and that way he fixes it up, and that way he can continue. He doesn't have to go shech the whole nother sur. In fact, we learned a few days ago we had the case where he mixed up the where the two bowls got blended together. And in fact, we had the discussion between Rav Yirmiyah and Rava and Rav Papa about what we do in those cases. And in fact, we said that that's exactly what you do. You sprinkle it l'shem par, and then you sprinkle it l'shem sur. And we had a case where you sprinkle it l'shem sur, l'shem par, and l'shem sur. And that way you cover, that way all your bases are covered. But in other words, with other things, as we're gonna say, if let's say again, for example, he had, let's say, sprinkled sprinkled the blood or the power or the sir before bringing the tertus, then it would be no good. Now another case, the im adshle gomer samatonis rifnim. What if before the Kohen Gadol was finished, the applications of blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim nishbach adam? What happens if he spills the blood? So now he started doing things in the right order, but now he did a few of the hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the blood spilled. So now what does he do to finish it up? Yavi dam acher, he has to bring other blood, meaning he needs to shecht another power or another sir, as the case may be, and then start all over with him. He has to start over from the beginning of those hazards. So even, let's say, he did one or five, or even if he did seven out of the eight hazards of the blood of the power, and then it's spilled, then he's going to have to start over with a new power. We don't say, according to the Tanakhama, that he just continues from where he broke off. He has to start from the beginning of the hazards with him again. The same is true as far as the sequence of hazois in the hechel, in front of the parochas. Meaning, now there we don't say. So what we say is each of those groups is considered a separate unit. So the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim are a unit of their own. Once he finished those properly, then if he spills the blood later on, he doesn't have to redo those. He just has to go back to the beginning of the section that he was in. So Kodesh HaKadoshim is a section of its own. The ones in front of the Parochas are a section of their own. The Chen B'Mizbeach HaZohav, and the same thing is true as far as the Mizbeach HaZohav, the four on the four corners and the seven on the top. Each one of them, Shekulam Kapara B'Fnei Atzmon, each one of them is a Kapara of their own. Therefore, whichever one was already done, he finished the ones in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then good, that one is done and he doesn't have to redo it. He finished the ones in front of the Parochas, then good, those are done and he doesn't have to redo them. He just has to start from the beginning of the section that he was in the middle of when it spilled. On the other hand, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, say no, wherever he broke off, that's where he starts over again. In other words, according to them, if let's say he did five of the hazois in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the blood spilled, so they agree he has to shecht another power because he needs more blood to finish the job, but according to them, he doesn't start all the way over from achas, he starts over, he did already achas v'arba, so now he continues from achas v'chamesh. We'll see in the Gemara why. We'll see in the Gemara what the reason for the argument is between them. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Tanan Rabbanan, kol ma'ase Yom Kippurim ha'omer al ha'seder." The whole action, the whole avodah of Yom Kippur that we've talked about in order. Im hikdim ma'ase v'chaveira, if he did one thing before another. So we said loy osa klum, where he doesn't count for anything. Omer Rav Yehuda emasai, but Rav Yehuda says, when does that apply? V'dvarim ha'nasim v'vigdei lovan v'vifnim. That applies only to avoiders that have two criteria. Number one, he's doing them with big day lavan, and number two, he's doing them with nim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Really, I guess, automatically, whatever he's doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in big day lavan, so it's really only one criterion. But in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, avod dvarim anasim with big day lavan b'bachutz. But then you have avoiders that are done in big day lavan outside, for example, making the girdle between the two se'irim, pouring the shiraim of the blood on the mizbeach, and even Rashi says mivachutz would even include the ones in the heichel, for example, the applications of blood on the parochas and the mizbeach hazahav. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, all of those in hikdim ma'aser l'chaveira, if he does one of them out of order, masha asa asui, what he did is done, and he doesn't have to redo it. Now later on, we're going to learn in the Gemara that Rabbi Chanina is going to tell us there are certain things that he does outside. Even though they're done outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they're tzorech pnim, they're a prerequisite for something that's going to be done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he agrees that the order of those is ma'akev. We're going to talk about in the Gemara about taking the double handful of tertus, where that's a prerequisite. He needs that in order to have the tertus to offer in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that, even though it takes place outside, is considered like an avodas pnim. But he would say, in other words, that let's say, so let's say, for example, in the Heichel, he's supposed to sprinkle the blood of the par and then the blood of the sir in front of the parochas. Rabbi Yehuda would say, if instead he did sir and then par in front of the parochas, doesn't matter. He can still continue as is. Reb Nechemia says, what are we talking about? This rule about if he did things out of order, it's no good, applies to things that, to anything that's done in Big Day Lavan, whether inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim or whether outside it. So he would say, for example, that yes, the sprinklings in the Heichel have to be done in order, first power, then sir, in front of the Parechas, otherwise it's no good. He says the only things that are excluded are the avodas that he does in the Big Day Zohav outside. So, for example, later on we're going to have that he puts on the Big Day Zohav, that's the third change of clothes of the day, and then he offers a couple of the musafim and the ram that he has to bring for Yom Kippur, his personal aisle. So those, Reb Nechemia would say that doing them out of order is not ma'aktiv. But according to Reb Nechemia, anything in Big Day Lavan, no matter where it's done, then the order is ma'aktiv. Things that are done in Big Day Zahav outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Masha Asa Asui, then if he does them out of order, then it's done. Now, are there three different opinions in the Braise over here, or are there only two opinions because Rabbi Yehuda is just clarifying what the Tanakhama says, and then Rabbi Nechemia is arguing with him? Is it that maybe there are two opinions because the Tanakhama is just making a general statement, and then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia disagree with him? That you have a different understanding among the Rishonim how to understand this Braise. In any case, we're going to focus on the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia. So again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that only things that are for the order to be ma'akev, it has to be an avodas pnim. And according to Rabbi Nechemia, even an avodas chutz, as long as it's done in Big Day Lavan, is ma'akev. So now, as I said, within that, you have a few different explanations among the Rishonim how to understand what Rashi would say on this. Does it mean that only if both of them are avodas pnim is there a problem, or is it even if only one of them is an avodas pnim and the other one is it doesn't matter what kind of avoda it is? Or is it only if you did a chutz before the pnim, then you have a problem, but not if you did a pnim before the chutz. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Ushneim Mikra Echad Doshi. So Rabbi Yechanan says, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemia, who are arguing whether this rule applies to everything done in Big Day Lavan, or only to the things in Big Day Lavan that are b'fnim, Ushneim Mikra Echad Doshu, they're both doshing their respective shittas from the same pasuk. The pasuk says at the end of the avodah of Yom Kippur, "V'hoisa zois lachem l'chukas olam." The pasuk says this should be an eternal chuk for you, and the pasuk continues later on, "Achas bashana." This should be once a year. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Savar. So now, the what it is like this: the word chukah teaches us that it has to be done in order. Whenever the pasuk says chukah on something, it means it has to be done exactly as we said; otherwise, it's no good. But now, let's focus on that achas bashana. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda takes the view that what does achas bashana mean? It means makom shemiskaperim bepam achas bashana. It means the place, that the achas bashana refers to the place within the Beis Hamikdash where kapara is done only once a year. That's what the chukah applies to. Well, what's the place where you do kapara only once a year? Only the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Every place else, you do other kaparas, you do other karbanas for kapara at other times during the year. In the Azorah, obviously, you have all the time karbanas are being brought for kapara, and even in the Heichel, you have if during the year a par helam davar shal tzibur or par kohen gadol or siri avod zarah, all the ones that we lump together as parim and israfim and siri and israfim in Ezra Makoyman, those can be brought any time during the year, so it's not necessarily that kapara is accomplished in the Heichel only once a year. But in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it is. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that's the only place where you're going to have a problem if things are done out of order. Rabbi Nechemia Savar, whereas Rabbi Nechemia takes the view that it means Dvorim HaMiskaperin Behen Pamachas Bashana. Means it's not referring to the place, it's referring to the karbonus and the actions with which kapara is accomplished only once a year. All of these things that we're talking about over here, the offering of the Torah and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sure, is only once a year, but also the sprinkling achas l'mayel of a shevel l'mata in front of the parochas is also only done once a year. The girdle on the true se'irim is only done once a year. All these various things are done only once a year. Therefore, the Nechemia figures, all of them are included in the rule of achas bashara. problem with that is, Otru Lerav Yehuda Mokam Ksiv, but according to Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Nechemya, we understand very easily. It says, Achas Vashana. So sure, he says it means anything that's done only once a year on Yom Kippur. According to Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda is kind of having to insert in here the concept of Mokka, and the concept that Achas Vashana means that we're talking about the place where Kapara is done only once a year. According to Rav Yehuda, where do you have any hint of that in the pasuk? No. Ela Hainu Time of Rav Yehuda. So rather, it's not that Rav Yehuda is learning from the word Achas Vashana itself. Rather, Rav Yehuda would say, Ksiv Zois Uksiv Achas. The fact is, we have the word zois, voice is zois lachem lachoka servam. Zois is a mute, meaning that only the chukka only refers to something specific, not anything else. And then it says achas, so now we have to achas rashana, so now, which is also a mute. So what does that mean? So Rabbi Yehuda would say there's two miutim. Chad the ma'utid digde lavan rimachotz. One is telling us to exclude things that are done in digde lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So again, like let's say the sprinklings of the par and the sur in the heichal, where Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mind if they're done out of order. And the other one to tell us that nothing that's done in the big day zahav is the urum active. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, all that's left is the things that are done bifnim, which the things that are done bifnim necessarily are in big day lavan. V'Rav Nechemya, now how would Rav Nechemya understand those two miyotim? He would say, chad lama'uti big day zahav, v'chad lama'uti shirayim dolema achi. He would say, one of them, sure, I agree with you, teaches us anything done in the Big Day Zahav is not ma'akiv. But the other one, he says, is not to be mamayik things done in the Big Day Lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but rather specifically to be mamayik shirayim. So we said shirei adam, the leftover blood after all the 43 sprinklings, is poured on the yisod. So now that's done in Big Day Lavan. So Rav Nechemya would say, that I agree is not ma'akiv. If it's done out of order. So he's using the miut for that. Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? Doesn't he also agree that the Shvichas Shirayim is not ma'akiv? He says that. No, not necessarily. If pouring the Shirayim on the Mizbeach is ma'akiv altogether, in other words, if it's an ascent, we have to consider, is the Shvichas Shirayim ma'akiv the korban from being kosher? Now, we say every day in Ezra Mekoyman, Imloy Nosan La'ikiv, that if you didn't pour the remainder of the blood of any korban on the Yisoid, then it's still kosher, but Rabbi Yehuda is saying that's not necessarily the case. Maybe that's true, maybe not. It may in fact be that at least in the case of these chatoris apnimius, if you, just like we said before, that matana achas mehen ma'akavas, that if you leave out even one of the 43 sprinklings, then it's no good. Maybe also the pouring on the yisod would also be ma'akav. In fact, a few days ago when we were talking about the issue of ma'arvin lakronis, the question of the machloekas of Yonas and of Yoshia, whether we mix the blood of the par and the sorah together before applying them to the kronis of the mizbeach apnimi, we said that we had the different opinions about that. Tosfos referred over there to a gemara in Menachos that brings an opinion that on Yom Kippur there are 48 applications of blood that are ma'akav, namely the 43 that we said. Four more, because according to that opinion, you don't mix the blood before applying it to the kronos, like the Mishnah had said previously. Instead, you do par separately and sur separately, so that gives you another four. And then the 48th would be the pouring the shirayim on the yisoid. So there is, in fact, an opinion that pouring the shirayim on the yisoid is ma'akiv, and if you don't do it, then the korban is puzzled. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're going to say that anything that's done in Digdei Lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is ma'akiv, like you, Rav Nechemya, are saying, then pouring the Shirayim should in fact be ma'akiv. V'iloi ma'akvi loi ma'akvi. And if not, if anything else done in Digdei Lavan outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not ma'akiv, then neither is the Shvichas Shirayim. So in other words, Rav Yehuda says to Rav Nechemya, you're telling me in a special limud to tell us, you're saying that all the other avodas done in Digdei Lavan b'chutz, you have to do them in order, and if not, it's possible, and you need a specific miut for the shirayim. I'm saying that no, the shvichas shirayim is another avoda that's done b'chutz in Big Day Lavan, and therefore it falls in the same category as the other one. If you're going to say those are more active, like you're saying, Rav Nechemya, so is shvichas shirayim. If not, then not. So Kedetanya, as in fact we learn in a braisa, the pasuk says, after the Kohen Gadol has finished these sprinklings, when the Kohen Gadol is at the same point of the Avodah as our Mishnah is, he's done with the sprinklings, and he's done with the sprinklings in the Heichel, and then he's about to go and do the Vidui on the Sor LaAzazel. So the Pasuk says, V'chila mikaper es HaKodesh, he should complete doing Kapara for the Kodesh. So that means, what does that Pasuk mean? What is that Pasuk telling us? At this point, the Pasuk should go on with the next thing that he's going to do. What does it need to tell us that? So it means, im kiper kila, if he accomplished the kapara, then he's completed it. The im loy kiper loy kila, divir abakiva. If he didn't finish everything that he had to do, if he didn't do the complete kapara that he was supposed to do, then he didn't finish. Then, in other words, what he did is still unfinished and is still possible. Divir abakiva. But Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Akiva, in effect, what you're doing is you're kind of learning the pasuk backwards. You're saying, v'chila, mikaper, and you're saying that mikaper is a prerequisite for v'chila. But that's out of order. Mipnei ma lo noimar, so Rabbi Yehuda says, why don't we say the other way around? Im kila kaper, if he finished it off, that only then did he accomplish the kapara. V'im lo kila lo kaper, but if he didn't finish off everything that he's supposed to do with the blood, then he's not mikaper. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Shem chiser achas min matanos le'osav le'kulam," and then we would learn from that pasuk that if he missed out one of the matanos, then it's no good. Then the avodah is possible. And the amrinan, and we discussed on that. In the Gemara in Zvachim, my benayu. What is the actual argument between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda? It sounds like they're kind of saying. It sounds like they're saying the same thing. You have to do everything. And the answer is Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shurban Levi. Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shurban Levi argue what the point of the machloikas is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva. Chad Omar Mashmos Darshan Ikabinayu. One says there's no real argument between them. They're just arguing how to darshan the pasuk, but they both agree that Matana Achas Mehen Me'akavas, that you have to do every Matana, otherwise it's no good. So it's just a question. Do we learn that from the word Kippur, or do we learn that from the word Kila? And V'chad Omer, the other one between Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shurban Levi, says, Shirayim Ma'afi Ikebedayu. The argument between them would be, is the pouring of the Shirayim on the Yisoid, is that Ma'afi? Rabbi Akiva would say, Im Kippur, if he did the main Kapara of the main Matonis, the 43 or 47 Matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichel, then he's Kila, then he's finished. But even if he didn't pour the Shirayim on the Mizbeach, it would still be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, only if he finished everything, including the pouring of the Shinayim, only then, Kippur, did he accomplish the Kapara. But if not, then Loi Kippur, meaning Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with the Mishnah that we learn in Ezer Mekoyman, that says, Im Loi Nosam Loi, that says about the Shvichas Shirayim, Im Loi Nosam Loi Ikev. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that and say that the Shvichas Shirayim is in fact Ma'akiv. So according to that way of understanding it, Rabbi Yehuda may say that Shvichas Shirayim is Ma'akiv. So we would say that Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Nechemiah, you need a special miut in the pasuk to tell us that Shvichas Shirayim are not ma'akiv. I would say, let's look in general, the order of Shvichas Shirayim, that if you did it out of order with any other avodah, then it's not ma'akiv. I would say, says Rabbi Yehuda, you don't need a special miut for it. You need to look in general, is Shvichas Shirayim even an avodah that the absence of it is ma'akiv at all? If you're going to say, Rabbi Nechemiah, that anything done in Big Day Lovin is ma'akiv, then Shvichas Shirayim is in fact ma'akiv, not like you're saying. But if you say that not everything done in Big Day Lovan is ma'akiv, only things that are done b'fnim, well then okay, you don't need a special limud for Shvichas Shirayim because it's an avoda that's done b'chutz and automatically that's not ma'akiv anyway. Okay, so the question is, Umi Omer Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yechanan in fact say that? So we said that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah are both learning their respective shittas based on the words Chukas Olam and Achas Bashana, and he had said that according to Rabbi Yehuda was saying maybe the Shvichas Shirayim is ma'akev, maybe it's not, but according to Rabbi Nechemiah was saying it's not ma'akev. The question is, me Amar Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yechanan in fact say that? Well, Amar Rabbi Yechanan Tonan of Nechemia Kedivya or Mishirai Ma'vi. In fact, we learn a Braisa, in fact, Rabbi Yechanan says that a certain other Braisa is like Rabbi Nechemia, who said that Nechemia says like the opinion that Shirai Ma'vi, that Shirayim are Ma'akiv. So therefore, so he holds they are ma'akiv. So what are you telling us in our Gemara that they're not ma'akiv? And the Gemara says kasha. It's a kasha on what Rabbi Yechanan is saying. Again, it's not a tsyufta. It's not a complete upschlag, but we do have to look further into it and understand how Rabbi Yechanan would understand Rabbi Nechemia's opinion. Maybe one possibility is he would say that the actual pouring of them is ma'akiv, but the order of them is not ma'akiv. Fine. The Gemara says so far what we have is, again, we have Rabbi Yehuda telling us that only the avodas that are done in Bigde Lovan Bifnim is the order of them active. And then again, within that, you have a few different opinions what he means by that. Does it mean two avodas Bifnim? That if they're done out of order, does he mean one Pnim and one Chutz? Anyway, and then you have Rabbi Nechemia saying anything that's done in Bigde Lovan, the order is active. So now, Amar Rav Chanina. So now, Rav Chanina puts in a wrinkle. Ketodas shechofna kodem shketase shopar. Like this, we had before. We had earlier in the Masechta that the Kohen Gadol shechted his par. Then he gave the blood to somebody else to stir so it doesn't congeal. Then he went and took that. So he shechted his par in the fourth parak of our Masechta. Then at the beginning of our parak, at the beginning of the fifth parak, he took the double handful of Torahs and brought it into the Kodesh Kedoshim and offered it. And after that, he went and took the blood of the par and started sprinkling it. So now Rav Chanina tells us that if he took the double handful of tertus, kodem shchitasya shopar, before he shechted the par, loy also v'loy klum, then what he did doesn't count, and he's going to have to do the chafina, the taking the handful of tertus again. So the question is, Kaman, now who is that like? Deloy Rav Yehuda. That statement of Rav Chanina seems to be not like Rav Yehuda. Because if it was according to Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amah ki k'siva chukah b'dvarim anasim b'vidyalav b'vifnim, or k'siva. Didn't Rabbi Yehuda say that chukah applies only to things that are done in Bigdei Lavan in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? This is not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He does it in Beis Avtinas or in the Azara, wherever exactly he does it. It's nowhere near the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The answer is, afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda, you could say that Rabbi Chanina's statement works even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda would agree, tzorech pnim ki pnim dami, Rabbi Yehuda would say that something that's a prerequisite for an avodah that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the equivalent for this purpose of an avodah done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Given that you need chafina before, in order for him to have the Torah to take him to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore the chafina, even though it actually takes place outside, is considered to be one of the avodahs that's done inside. So the Gemara says, Tinan, well, let's look at our Mishnah and see if that fits with that. The Mishnah said, Imad Shalek Dhamma Matonis Shibuknim, Nishba Hadam, if before he finished the Matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood spilled, Yavi Damacha, we said he has to bring other blood, meaning he has to shecht another par, the Yachs of the Yaz of Atrila, and then he has to start the Hazois over again in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now let's consider. What happens, in effect, what happened is the first par became possible. So now he has to shecht a new par in order to have new blood. Now, when he does that, that new par is being shechted after he had already taken the handful of tertus and offered it. The im isa, now if you're telling me that the chafina is considered one of the avodas where if it's done out of order, it's no good, yachsav yachpin mi bari lai, shouldn't it have to say that he has to take the double handful of tertus again? In other words, he should have to rewind quite a bit. He should have to shecht another par because he needs the more blood. Then he should take another double handful of tertus and the pashtus bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and mimak with it. Although I think the Yerushalmi, the Mefershim bring, I think from the Yerushalmi, that says maybe not necessarily because he only offers tertus once in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Anyway, whatever the case. So he'd have to shecht another par, then he'd have to take another double handful of tertus, and then he'd have to bring in the blood and start the matonis. So why is the Mishnah only mentioning that he needs other blood without mentioning the fact that he needs to do anything else with tertus? So if we say not like Reb Chanina, if we say that the rule about avodas done out of order applies only to things that are actually done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, well, fine. Then the Chafina is done outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, we wouldn't say that he has to do that again. But if we say like Reb Chanina is saying now that even things done outside can be considered as long as they're tzorech pnim, then even Reb Yehuda would say that they have to be done in order. So now you have the shechting of the par has to be accomplished before the chafina, and since the old par is possible because the blood spilled, so now he needs a new par. So there needs to be chafina. There needs to be chafina after it. The answer is, b'k'toras lo kamayri. Okay, you could say the Mishnah is not addressing what you need to do in terms of the k'toras. It is true, you would have to bring other k'toras after the par is shechted, but the Mishnah is not addressing that. The Mishnah is just focusing on the fact that you're going to need another par. So no contradiction against Reb Chanina. Another din in this connection, Oma Ola, Sarish Shachta Koidim Matan Domishal Par. Here's another din in this connection. If you shechted the Sir before you applied the blood of the Par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or we're going to see whether we mean the Kodesh HaKadoshim or any of the other Matonis of the Par, also, what he did doesn't count for anything. The Matan Domim of the Par are no good. So the Gemara says, one second, Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Hikdim damasur le damapar. We said if he sprinkled the blood of the sur before the blood of the par, Yachsav yazmi damasur achar damapar, then all he has to do is re-sprinkle from the sur after the par, and it's still kosher. Now, v'im isa, if we accept Ula's din, and we say that if the sur was shechted before the matan dam of the par, So on the face of it, what it means is, in other words, let's consider, but we assume for purposes of the question that the matones of the par that we're talking about that were done out of order was the matones inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now you have the sur was shechted before any of the applications or the blood of the par were done. And now, what we're saying is, if we did the blood of the sur before we did the dam of the par, what we're saying is, in other words, so we assume that what it means is that you shechted the sur, then you went and sprinkled the blood of the sur, then you went and then you went and sprinkled the par. It has to be that way because, again, in the order that we said before, here's what it is. In the order that we said before, we have the Kohen Gadol, again, he shecht the par, then he does chafina, then he offers the k'toras in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he takes the blood of the par and starts sprinkling in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, achas l'mayla v'shev l'mata. Only then does he go and shech the sur, and then he takes the blood and brings it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, if we're talking about a case where he sprinkled the blood of the sur before the blood of the par, and we assume, for purposes of the question, that we mean the matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because those are the ones that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, the order of them is active. Obviously, that means he had to have shechted the sur earlier before he even did the applications of blood of the par. So then, by the logic that we're saying, that by the logic that we said before, according to Reb Chanina, that surdach pnim kipnim dami, then it would mean shechting the sur out of order is no good. So why are we saying that it's good enough for him to just take the blood of the sur and sprinkle it again after the dam of her? The fact is he shechted the sur out of order. It has to be, because that's the only way he would have the dam of it. And therefore, that means that was done out of order. And yachsav yishchet mi boilei. The Mishnah should say he has to shecht the new sur. Now, Agoyis Abach points out, why doesn't the Gemara just say, like it said before, we're not addressing what he has to do with Tertus? Why doesn't the Gemara use the same expression, of the same answer over here? We're not addressing what he has to do with Shchita. We're just addressing what he has to do in terms of the Hazois. So Agoyis Abach says that no, because the expression in the Mishnah, the expression in the Mishnah was before, when we talked about where the blood spilled, we said v'yachsav yazav atchila, he has to start the hazois over again. Here the expression is just the yachsav yazav midam asur, he just has to sprinkle the blood of the sur. It doesn't say you should bring other blood, and we said yavi dam acher, we said he has to bring other blood, which implies shechting another animal, and v'yachsav yazav atchila. Here it just says yachsav yazav midam asur, doesn't say anything about yavi dam acher, doesn't say that he has to bring other blood, implying that he doesn't have to shecht another animal. Now, why not? He shechted it out of order. The answer is Taguma Ula b'matonis shebehechol. The answer is Ula says you're right. When it says in the Mishnah, Hikdim Damasur, the Damapur is referring to the Matonis and the Hechel. By the time we come to the Matonis and the Hechel, the Psur has already been shechted, because again, the order is Matonis of the power in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then shechting the Psur, then Matonis of the Psur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, by now the Psur has already been shechted. There's no, the Psur doesn't need to be shechted. All you need to do is, now, when it comes to the Hechel, you did the Psur before the power, so fine, then there's nothing else we need to do except to do the sur again after the pie. We don't need to shecht a new sur because the shechting of it was in fact done in the right order. Rav Office said the same thing, that the Mishnah is referring to the Matanis in the Hechel. But you're right, if in fact he had shechted the sur out of order and then brought in its blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim before the blood of the pie, then in fact he would need to shecht another sur. And he would in fact need to shecht another sur, which would probably mean also they'd need to make another girdle on two seirim. We're going to take up that point in the next perek about when we need to make a new girdle and when not. But in any case, he'd need to rewind quite a bit in order to do things in the right order. Because again, even though the shechita of the sur is done outside, but it's tzorich pnim, it's a necessary prerequisite for an avodah that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, namely the sprinkling of the sur, and as we said, according to Reb Chanina's rule, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the order of that is ma'akev, because tzorich pnim kipnim jami. And according to Reb Nechemia, there's nothing to talk about, because according to Reb Nechemia, anything that's done in Big Day Lavan, then the order is ma'akev. Okay. So we'll continue talking about this thing with the order of the matones and what we do if it gets interrupted in the middle by sprinkling. We'll continue talking about that tomorrow. That's the shame.
Shkaya.
Yeah.